Long before there was Lisbeth Salander, the heroine of Stieg Larsson's phenomenally successful Millennium series, there was Martin Beck, another loner Swedish detective who investigated the bigger mysteries haunting the society of his time. Book critic Maureen Corrigan considers the utopian social fantasies offered up by both the Millennium series and its 1960s-era forerunner.
For the past few months, whenever I've found myself in a public space, in a Starbucks or doctor's waiting room, I always see somebody reading one of the novels in the Millennium series by Stieg Larsson. As a phenomenon, it's truly incredible. Millions upon millions of people in the U.S. alone, men and women, are captivated by a mystery series built around a main character who's an antisocial, bisexual, feminist, cyber genius avenger. Oh, and she's Swedish. Not since the arrival of IKEA on these shores has Sweden made such an inroad into the American home and imagination. As far as mystery fiction goes, though, Larsson is the tippy top of a Nordic literary iceberg that's been moving inexorably into our waters over the past few decades. Before The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo landed in this country in 2008, Henning Mankell was the mystery writer that everybody was raving about. Mankell's fellow Swedes, Helene Tursten, who writes very good police procedurals, and Kirsten Ekman, whose novel Blackwater was a standout, also made their mark. So have Karen Fossum and Joe Nesbo from Norway, and the late crime master Jan William van der Vettering from Holland. If the years between the world wars were the golden age of British mystery, we've surely entered a new ice age. When I first read Stieg Larsson and heard his novels talked about as composing a multi-novel epic about contemporary Swedish society, a little chime went off in my head. I thought of an extraordinary pair of older Swedish mystery writers I haven't yet mentioned, Maj Sjöwall and Per Wallu. To anyone who loves crime fiction, Sjöwall and Wallu are immortals. Their Chief Inspector Martin Beck novels are still in print and still read, though their popularity has never approached anything like Larsson's. Sjöwall and Wallu were married and together dreamt up the idea of writing 10 novels of 30 chapters each, composing an epic that spanned 10 years, from 1965 to 1975. Their aim, like Larsson's, was to investigate society. In their own words, Sjöwall and Wallu said that they wanted to use detective fiction to wield a scalpel to lay open the soft belly of the morally debatable bourgeois welfare state, exposing the cancer that was eating away at Swedish society. At night, after they put their children to bed, Sjöwall and Wallu would sit down at a table together, facing each other. And from detailed outlines, they would simultaneously write alternate chapters of whatever Martin Beck novel they were then working on. To me, this sounds like a marital recipe for homicide, but it worked for Sjöwall and Wallu, and they wrote brilliant stories. Among them, The Fire Engine That Disappeared and The Laughing Policeman, about the growing violence in Swedish society and the upsurge in militant demonstrations against the war in Vietnam. To read the collective work of Sjöwall and Wallu and Larsson is to have the dizzying illusion of reading one smart, entertaining, multi-volume work of social criticism focused on Sweden, with pointed applications to America as well. But there's more. Great detective fiction doesn't only offer social criticism. It also contains utopian alternatives to a world gone wrong. For Sjöwall and Wallu, that utopian alternative, circa 1975, involved a recommitment to the ideals of social democracy. In the last scene of the last novel, The Terrorists, Martin Beck and one of his close colleagues are setting up a game of Scrabble. The colleague, who's quit the police in frustration, tells Beck that, "The trouble with you, Martin, is just that you've got the wrong job, at the wrong time. in the wrong part of the world, in the wrong system. Then he turns over his Scrabble square and says, "My turn to start?" Then I say X. X, as in marks. Compare that class-based solution to society's ills to the dream vision that Larson gives us. By the end of the Millennium series, a much more ragtag community of characters has come together, their very existence made possible by feminism and by the gay liberation movement. In uneasy alliance, they temporarily conquer the forces of cannibalistic capitalism, sexism, and international worker abuse. Such is the utopian dream that has infiltrated the psyches of the American reading public, blue stater and red stater. The astounding popularity of Larson's Millennium series is a testament to the undercover power of popular literature to transport us readers out of our hemmed-in worldviews.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. You can join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. And you can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org.